Welcome to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims, here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you would like to connect with myself or my guest today, by calling 740-383-9944, you may have some questions or you may even want to make some personal comments, and they are all welcome within bounds. They're welcome. Okay, so that number again is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552, and that is located in Marion, Ohio. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you, and they are out of LaRue, Ohio. Their telephone number is 740-262-0939. And I would like to open up my show with a thought for today. And this thought is titled, Simplicity is Beauty. Choose a day as your day of simplicity. Speak little and listen with attention. Do something incognito and nice for a person you are close to. Eat simple and natural food. Create time periods for not doing anything. Just walk, look around, live the moment. Have your mind open to a more profound and silent sensitivity. Appreciate each scene and each person as they are. I wasn't going to use this for today, but as I read through it, it made a lot of sense.
It's a good quote.
Yeah, it is a good quote. So the voice you hear in the background is H. Good. Happy New Year, H. Good.
Happy New Year. Happy 2020, Miss Linda. We are excited to be here on our first basically broadcast.
Yes.
Me being on here the first Tuesday or the second Tuesday of January, the month of January. So we're excited to be here. We're excited about what's going to take place in the next year, 2 years. So good to be here.
Amen. I'm glad you made it safe over the perilous street and highway.
Yes. And we've had no issues.
We're great.
Yeah, no issues.
Good. Good. So the enemy gave up for a season.
Oh, man. You know, the last time we were here, we were talking about the power of our words.
That's true.
And I have changed what I am speaking regarding coming here and some of the things that have, you know, some of the things mm-hmm. in the past that were taking place, some of the just the challenges and resistance.
Right,
but my mindset is different, and we are declaring different things. So today has been a good day.
Well, praise God. And, you know, like H. Good has already said, this is his first visit here this year, 2020.
Yes.
Happy New Year to all of you who are listening. If I have not said Happy New Year to you as of yet, Happy mm-hmm. New Year. This is the year of perfect vision.
There it is.
2020.
2020. And guess what? I had an eye appointment today, too. That isn't that funny?
Yes.
I had an eye appointment today. So anyway, I know you're not talking about natural eyes. We're talking about
seeing,
but it's just funny that I had that eye appointment today to check, get my eye, my vision checked.
But you know what? It's also spiritually and naturally.
That's right.
Because if you can't see it naturally, have you been in a spot and people say, well, look and see what God is doing for you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I can't see it.
Yes.
I can't see it. What is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So naturally also.
Yes.
Yes. We have to look both ways.
Yes.
And those of you, maybe you need your eyes checked
mm-hmm.
for the new year.
Yep.
So you can get your vision, you know, together if
yes.
you don't have it together. But This is a year of vision.
Yes, clear vision.
Clear vision.
Yes.
All right. Now, H. Good has been here many times. Come to think of it, it's like, wow. Okay.
Hey, it's awesome, Miss Linda.
Yes. Once a month.
Once a month.
It has been, yeah.
Yes.
For a while now, maybe 6 months?
About, yeah, 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
Pastor Rowan originally invited me on.
Right.
And you said, hey, it was a great show. If you ever want to come back, you know, let me know. And I'm like, you really mean that?
So, of course.
So we were able to get that done. And, you know, there's been some challenges a couple times that I've come. I've mentioned that to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But my mindset, my attitude is completely different. And I'm prepared now. And just like I said, what I was saying earlier, what I'm declaring is completely different. And
great.
It's fun. I love coming, and I'm getting people who are talking about the program, who are grateful with some of the things that you and I both share.
Great.
And so it's just a great way to give back into the community, and I'm also developing skills of being on the radio with you. So anyway.
And I am too.
Yeah.
I'm not a pro.
Hey, you're fooling me, because you're just so cool, calm, and collect, and even if there is a challenge or something, you don't lose your cool. And I guess that's part of being, you say that you're still growing, and I get it, but
yes,
you still, you're showing me and you're a pro. So,
Leadership
in my book.
Skills too.
There it is. Yes.
But let me remind you and maybe introduce to some of you H. Good. He is an author of a book titled Just Quit. It Will Make You Feel Better. And I used to say, or not. Okay.
Yes.
Because some people do give up.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just read a couple things about his book. If you are wondering why you are not getting the results you desire in your personal and professional life, this book is for you. For many years, I floundered around looking for answers on how I could live a life of purpose.
Yes.
This short read will encourage you to examine your decisions and habits and make the exciting changes necessary to live the life you were born to live. This is the book I needed in high school. What you will gain from reading this book: the power of your words, properly set goals, change bad habits, create a winning mindset, develop a personal development plan. About the author, Hassan Good, (H), is the founder and president of Good Solutions Staffing and Hire, a staffing and professional development company. The mission of his organization is to build a healthy culture with companies and organizations. His organizations are designed to improve culture through staffing and staff development workshops. He has spoken with and trained leaders in Fortune 500 companies, as well as government organizations with diverse audiences. He has visited and spoken in several countries, including Russia, India, Turkmenistan, and
Kyrgyzstan. Yes,
I did that at home. I got it right at home.
That's funny.
I did. So this is who is on the show today. And if you would like to call in and ask any questions, remember that telephone number is 740-383-9944.
Yes, thank you for that.
You're so welcome. I just want to go one more step further today. Something burning in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is chapter 7 of his book. I'm going to read to you. It looks like the first paragraph, the learning curve. There is certainly a difference between walking in faith and walking in fear. Faith is the energy that produces God's kingdom in the earth realm. Fear is when you meditate on your negative circumstances and worry about all the things that could go wrong. Fear does produce and energy and opens doors that produce death in your life. Are you listening to that sentence? Fear does produce an energy and opens doors that produce death in our lives. Now, that was really profound to me when I read this earlier, because I was watching a show and she was talking about that spirit of death that falls on people.
Yes.
And how they feel like they're in a place where they can't move. They can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So share a little bit of that with us and how that affected you.
Yeah. So, you know, what's really interesting about, and what's so, and I believe this is a good read because it's short. And I'm not saying if it's the long book that it's not a good read, but I really try to share a snapshot of what I have learned since starting this business and some of the challenges and areas that I've had to grow. And so back to what you were saying, you know, both produce an energy, faith in God and fear. And I've heard people say, you know, what's the statement that I've heard people say? It's like, be fearless.
Right.
And, you know, I don't really think that there's, I don't know, for me, let me just speak for me. I think it's really tough to be fearless. I think there are times when you can go into a situation, you can be looking at, you can look to launch something that is new, and there, and you're going to experience fear. You're going to experience it no matter who you are. There are times when you're going to experience fear. But what I like to say is that even though you may experience it, you don't have to succumb to that fear. And I think instead of talking about, oh, I'm going to be fearless, and I get what people are saying when they say that, but it's more, I believe that people who have accomplished greatness or significance, they are people who have experienced the fear or felt the fear, but in spite of feeling that or experiencing the fear, they act with courage. And so whatever you meditate on, there have been times when I've been speaking and I get, you know, I start all these thoughts, these voices of fear begin to speak to my mind. Oh my gosh, you only have a bachelor's degree. Oh my gosh, you barely graduated high school and you're speaking to people with PhDs, or, oh my gosh, these are VPs and presidents of organizations. And if they knew what you were like when you were in high school, that you didn't live this perfect life, you know, would they have you speaking still?
Right.
And so if I continue to meditate on those negative thoughts, I'm going to cower and I'm not going to go and share what's on my heart. And so as I've spoke or as I've shared before, that specifically, I noticed that when I would think about all the things that were going to happen, you know, when my I still have the business, but in the very in the early days when I didn't have money to make payroll, when I was faced with the decision on should I pay a mortgage or pay my staff, should I pay my staff or should I put food on the table for my three kids at the time, and so there were all these different thoughts, fear thoughts, and that's what I begin to meditate on. And you know, instead of maybe writing things down on what are the possibilities, you know, if this happens or if I make this decision, I just continue to meditate on fear, on all the negative things that could happen. And me being a man of faith, you know, I'm talking to God like, God, are you there? God, are you there? But I'm allowing the negative circumstances that I'm meditating on, that I'm continuing to talk about and talk to my friends about, like, oh, my goodness, this client paid me late. Now I can't do this, or, you know, all these things. And so I just continue to meditate on those. And those were real things that were going on. But instead of looking to God's word, which is truth, and meditating, and that's, and for me, not everybody, you know, believes that the Bible is the greatest success book ever, but I just happen to, instead of going to the Bible and seeing what the word of God says, I would just continue to meditate on that fear. And because I felt like if I, you know, said a certain scripture, that it wasn't helping.
Right.
And so that just began a habit and a pattern. And I eventually, as I've shared with you and in this book, we lost everything materialistically. Everything that we had worked so hard and things that God had blessed us with, we had lost all those things. And so that began. That was the pivotal point in my life where I said, listen, and I'm thankful for having people in my life like my wife, and by the way, they're doing amazing, and we're just in this season of setting vision for the new year and even the next 5 to 10 years. But having somebody like my wife in my life, who was a great woman, who was a who was my cheerleader, who believed in me, and having other friends like Rowan and even some of the other friends, you know, Tim and some of those guys, Joe, some of my ride or die guys, them speaking to me and believing in my dream and believing what they saw in me and telling me don't quit. When I was ready to throw in the towel, you know, I began to, I said, something's got to change. And that change was not external. It was me.
It had to begin with you.
Yes. And yes. So as I began to get up earlier and started reading other books and listening to motivational CDs and faith building CDs, one of the areas that I realized that I had to grow in was the area of faith.
Right.
And that's simply believing what God's word says right. about a situation. That's all it is. I'm not right. going to try to, you know, be theological about it, but basically believing what God says and meditating on that and not meditating on the fear. And I believe this now, that our circumstances, no matter what they may seem like in the natural, our circumstances are always subject to change.
Yes, yes.
And not only that, I was allowing those negative circumstances, the fear, they were basically, I allowed them.
Producing death.
Correct. And prophesying to me.
Yes.
They were
prophesying. Yes.
I was allowing those fearful circumstances to prophesy to me.
Right.
And as I was allowing that, it was producing death. So, yes.
Death of your confidence.
Confidence.
Death of your plans.
Oh, my goodness.
Death of your dreams, of your future, for you and your family.
Yes.
And I
yes.
want to say Happy New Year, Michelle.
Yes, if you're listening, babe.
You and the family.
Happy
yes.
New Year.
But I thought about when I read that, it just really clicked, because we find so many young people are despairingly lost.
Yes.
They've lost hope. Fear is dictating to them.
Yes.
And a lot of them have given up.
That's right.
How do you speak to a young man who has given up?
That's a great question.
Or a young lady.
So I want to encourage somebody who's listening today that, you know, typically when people feel like giving up, I want to say, first of all, don't quit. Don't quit. You owe you to stay in the game. You owe you to stay on course.
Amen.
You owe you. Nobody else owes you. And yes, you may have, you may not have the ideal living arrangements, or there may be people in your life. For example, I know me growing up, I didn't have my biological father mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. So I was very angry and felt like people owed me something.
Right.
But you know what? That's why I say this book was the book that I needed in high school, because there were so many times when I gave up on myself. There were so many times when I gave up on myself. So talking to young people, which I get a chance to do on a regular basis, I think I shared this with you that I'm doing some work with middle schoolers mm-hmm. At a charter school, inner city charter school in Columbus. This is my opportunity to give back and deposit and try to encourage and motivate these young people to greatness. But what I tell them is don't give up on you.
Right.
Because you have people, no matter what, we can always, when I look back at my life, and you know, there are times I'm like, man, nobody cares, nobody, da da da. But I look back over my life, Miss Linda, mm-hmm. and there are people that I can point to
right.
that actually were telling me, don't give up, that right. were that actually believed in me. Mm-hmm. And so if you give up, here's the thing that I tell people,
okay.
here's the thing that I tell young people, if you start this pattern of giving up when it gets tough, it's going to be extremely difficult to break that pattern.
Wow.
When you're in the fight of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you start making that habit now of always giving up when it gets tough, you know, in their grades and, you know, in certain classes, if
right.
you start giving up and not putting the effort and the energy needed into getting to that next level, it's going to be extremely tough when your life and when other people, or even when you need it most, to continue to persevere through. So, you know, I tell young people, don't give up on yourself. And I tell them too, I'm not going to give up on you.
Right.
Don't give up on you.
Right.
And so it's, you know, what are you listening to? Who are you around?
Right.
I thank God for a mother that when I was ready to quit school, she went off on me. This was a single mother
right.
who had me when she was 18, getting ready to be 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
went up to college, to Michigan State University, as a single mother,
mm-hmm.
and didn't have a whole lot of help from the family.
Right.
Because, and I'm not saying they didn't help. They were in Detroit, so she was kind of on her own. But this is somebody who went off on me when I was ready to quit
right.
school, and she said, how dare you? And she kind of just
right.
shook me into, you know, my right mind. And right. And so that was another pivotal moment right. in my life when somebody who believed in me, even though at the time I had not been producing much, mm-hmm. she said, don't you give up and don't you quit school.
Right.
And so I just want to tell whoever's listening, you don't give up on yourself. You don't give up on yourself, and you never know what's right around the corner if you just go one more day, if you just try a little harder.
True.
Give a little bit more effort. Give a little bit more energy. You never know what kind of breakthrough can happen. So don't quit on yourself, and if you have a dream, you don't quit. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
But you stay the course, and yes. don't quit because, as people always say when they look at the title of my book, they think that I'm telling people to quit. Just quit. It'll make you feel better, right? But you've heard that statement. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. So don't quit.
And they should ask the question, why? Why?
Why, you know? Why not quit? Yes.
Why just quit? Why would I want to do that? Why yes. would I want to give up? Why would I just want to throw up my entire life? Because like you say, if I start this type of...
just quitting whenever it gets tough.
Right, when it's time for me to confront yes. life. Life is full of ups and downs and curves and twists and good things and bad things, good and evil.
Yes.
They will not go away.
Yes.
It's just a part of life.
That's a part of life.
And you make this one simple sentence. You must simply learn how to fight.
Learn how to fight. You got to learn how to fight. And you have to dig deep. You have to find something within yourself. I remember as I was on the way here, I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, there were decisions that I made younger and even mm-hmm. in my business that got me to the place where I was ready to quit. You right. know, there were some tough decisions, but I'll never forget. I'm being real transparent here. When I was in high school, we were really good at basketball. My team was really good. And I had some issues going on at home, and my team was really good. And so my senior year, I actually was ineligible for half my senior season. I was embarrassed, but I had sowed bad seeds. I mean, I wasn't right. doing what I needed to do in the classroom, right. messing around in the summertime, not doing what I needed to do. So right. What I was sowing, you know, came to
manifested.
Harvest. Yeah. So half my senior season.
Wow.
And that was a time, you know, I had some friends in my life. I had a girlfriend, and just, you know, things weren't going the way that I wanted. And I thought, okay, well, basketball's not going well. So what can I dig my heels in? Mm-hmm. What's something else I can kind of put my confidence in? Because I'm not playing basketball, and it affected my confidence. So then I'm dating a girl, and things aren't going well and with that situation. And so I had a talk with myself. This is at 17 years old.
Okay.
And I said, dude, what you gonna do?
Right, right.
You can quit and not play the rest of the season and try mm-hmm. to just tell people, you know, I got hurt, or, you know, just some lie.
Or blame somebody.
Correct,
right.
Which is what we love to do.
Right.
Sure, things aren't going well at home. I think at that time, my mother was going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. The girlfriend, like I said, things weren't going well with her.
Right.
And I didn't know who I was. And so I made a decision. I was like, you know, after a lot of just talking to myself, I said, dude, yes, you're going to be embarrassed if you try to go back out on this basketball team, but your team needs you. And this is a pivotal moment in your life because you want to play college ball. So sure, you made a mistake, but you're going to need to, this is the talk that I was having with myself. You're going to need to make some changes.
Yes.
And don't quit and go back on that basketball team. And I think I ended up having a talk with my coach. My coach, who's no longer here, he was bothered by the decisions that I was making. Actually, my coach called me dumb one time because I was doing so bad in school. That wasn't good when he said that. But I did have a talk with him and, you know, got back on the team and ended up finishing that season. But that was a pivotal moment in my life.
I bet it was.
Because it was an opportunity. Most young men, they just say, I'm done.
That's true.
And then they end up out on the streets. And I knew that I could not do that. And so I ended up playing college ball and overseas and all
That's
that good,
good
stuff. So
it's good. Your mother was so behind you and with you and,
yes.
and rooting for you and
yes.
helped carrying you through. And you didn't want to disappoint her either.
That's right. And you know what's really interesting about that conversation when I said I wanted to quit school? Mm-hmm. This was not in high school, the story I'm telling you now.
Okay.
This was actually in junior college.
Really?
When I was on scholarship and I was done playing. I had blown some opportunities to transfer to a four-year school. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting at home. I was done playing, and in junior college, you only get 2 years eligibility, and then you're supposed to transfer to another school. And okay. because the schools that were recruiting me were not as big as the schools I was being recruited in high school, I turned those schools down.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I'm about to just quit school and just start hanging out. Mm-hmm. Now, my mother wasn't paying for my school, and I told her I was about to quit. And that's when she went off on me.
I know, that's right.
But she felt like, because what she went through as a single mother, my mother ended up getting her bachelor's degree from Michigan State University,
right.
ended up getting a master's degree mm-hmm. as well from Michigan State as a single mother. She felt like she had gone through all of that. And here I am, single, didn't have any children or anything like that. Things were much easier. And she's like, you're going to sit there and say you're going to quit?
Yeah, because she considered it as being priceless.
Correct.
She paid a high price.
That's right.
To get that.
That's right.
Those degrees.
That's
under
right.
her belt, you know. She sacrificed all she had.
That's
you
right.
You and your life and long
yes.
way. And
yes.
maybe even a marriage. Who knows?
Yes.
But she had to sacrifice.
Yes.
You just going to throw it away? I don't
yes.
think so, right?
So when you ask me, what do I say to young people?
Yes.
These are the kind of talks that I have with them. Now, granted, they're not my children when I talk
right.
to them.
That's okay.
But I see vision. I see beyond when I'm talking to a young person and they're saying, I'm just going to quit. And they're so, listen, I'm not saying it's easy. Some people are in some positions in life that are tough.
Yes.
You know, my situation was tough, but I know people who have had, you know, even greater circumstances, you know, living at home and, you know, there's abuse and physically and mentally, verbally. But I still say don't quit. And as long as you have a beating heart, you have a purpose. And if you start that pattern again, like we were saying earlier, if you start that pattern of quitting, it's going to become easier
right.
and easier and easier every time you are faced with difficulties. And like you said earlier, you said difficulties are a part of life.
Part of life.
And you have to learn how to fight. This is a war. This is a battle that we're in, especially, you know, if you're a person of faith. You know, you're in a spiritual battle, and so you
yes.
have to learn how to fight spiritually.
And you say, you will always have to speak and declare God's words over your life and circumstances, no matter what it may look like. And that's how you fight.
Come on now. Yes.
And that's how you fight.
And some people, Linda, are so fixated on, well, I don't really feel like speaking life. And that was really one of my battles. I'm saying to myself, okay, they're getting ready to take my house.
Mm-hmm.
How am I supposed to say what God's word says? That was my battle.
Easy,
it
right.
wasn't easy. And
right.
so what I've had to learn to do is not just because a lot of times I used to base if I was going to say something good, it was based on my feelings.
On your feelings. Okay.
And this walk of faith is not a feelings-based
nope.
walk.
No, it's not.
And so I don't care what the circumstances look like. I have to speak life over my circumstances.
Right.
And it's not about a feeling. Because if it was just based on that, you know, our emotions are always up and down. So I've had to learn how to speak life in spite of what I see and how I may be feeling. But I'm telling you, when you begin that habit of speaking life over your circumstances, over you, over your family, over whatever area may be dying or may not look like what you want it to look like, you have to learn how to use one of the most powerful weapons that I believe God has given us, and it's right up under our nose.
I know, that mouth, that big mouth.
That's right.
That you use. So not even thinking how you use it and what you're saying, you know, because you're also listening to your own words. Not only
yes.
words other people are speaking, but you're feeling these words are coming out of you.
Yes.
And they go right into your ears after you've thought about these
yes.
things, you know. And the question I want to ask you is, how did you find out who you were?
So great question. When I was a little kid. So one thing I wanted to mention, and I'm going to answer that question.
Okay.
As I learned how to speak life over my situation,
right.
once we had lost everything,
mm-hmm.
And I started, developing this habit, there were things in my business that I started speaking over my business, okay. certain things. And there were certain companies that I wanted to partner with, mm-hmm. Certain organizations that I wanted to speak at. It's amazing walking through this process. I think I also shared in the book that after we had lost everything and I started this habit, I started changing what I was speaking. And we ended up after that landing one of the biggest accounts we had ever landed with a Fortune 500 company. Okay. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Great.
But your question was on, can you help me one more time, please?
How did you find out who you were?
How did I find out who I was?
How many young people out there do not even understand or yes. even comprehend or even trying to find out who they are?
Yes. They're just out here. And if you don't know who you are, you will allow the TV, you will allow other people to dictate who you are. And so the way that I learned who I was is it all goes back to my faith mm-hmm. in God, in Jesus. And, you know, I had that question. We all have that question. We wonder who we are. We wonder who am I? What is our purpose?
Right.
Why am I here? Correct. And many people try to fill that void with money, with career, with a number of things that we all try to find our identity in. So,
true.
So as I shared with you, when I was playing basketball in high school, mm-hmm. when I was not able to play basketball, it affected my confidence. And so then I'm starting to try to put my identity in other things.
Right. I bet it did. And that's what your confidence.
Correct. Yep. And so then I start trying to put my confidence in a relationship with someone. And then when that's not going right, then I'm wondering, okay, why am I here? What can I put my confidence in? So how did I learn who I was? In a nutshell, giving my life to Jesus mm-hmm. and understanding, hearing a man say many years ago that the generational cycles that I had grown up with mm-hmm. and that we see so prevalent today with men creating babies and not fathering them.
Right.
I began to hear a message of faith and hope that God wanted to break that generational cycle.
Okay.
And there was a purpose and a plan for my life that God had for me, and that he wanted to break that cycle of men creating babies and not fathering them and
right.
leaving the women. So that began the journey of me questioning, first of all, if God was real,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know if God was real. I heard
right.
a lot of people talk about God and all these different, you know, denominations and religions and et cetera, et cetera. And so for me, how I learned who I was and where my identity lies is
right.
not in the external things, not in the car that I drive, not in me playing basketball, not in, you know, what I wear, what I dress, what I look like. But I really began to learn after I gave my life to God that my identity was found in him, the rock.
Mm-hmm. The rock.
That's unchanging.
Unchanging.
And that he created me for a purpose.
Right.
And then as I began to develop that relationship with God
mm-hmm.
and began to find and begin to discover and learn that God is real and some of the things, and I won't go into it today, but I did find out that God is real.
Yes, he is real. Yes,
he is real.
Yes.
Miss Linda, and you know that. And so once I realized and had an encounter that I knew God was real, I was never the same.
I'm sure you weren't, because then you knew you could trust him.
That's right.
You could believe his word.
That's right.
You know, and he's a stand-up guy.
That's right.
Someone you can go to when
That's
you
right.
need to, you know.
That's right.
You want to share your plans.
That's
or,
right.
Or whatever. You
That's
know,
right.
Or your disappointments. Well, Lord, you know, this happened today.
That's
what
right.
about that? You
That's
know?
Right. Come on. And so as I have developed that relationship with God, I've been walking with God now for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that decision took place when I was in high school, or excuse me, when I was in college.
Okay.
And as I began to develop that relationship with him, he began to speak to me about who I was in him, that he had created me, that he had created me, you know, fearfully and wonderfully,
mm-hmm.
and that his love had been there all along. And even though I may not have grown up with my biological father, I couldn't use that as an excuse because my Father God has always been there. And so there's no excuse now. And so he helped me to say, you know what? I'm going to be that guy, that man, that father that I always wanted. And I'm going to forgive all the other men who had you know, the ones that had influenced me positively, thank you. And even the ones that influenced me negatively, right. thank you. Because right. now I know not what to be, or now I know what not to be.
Right.
And so, you know, that.
I focus on what I can be.
That's right. And as I heard one of my mentors say many years ago, that I made the decision that on my watch, and that when I have the choice, that as I got married and started having children, I'm committed for life. But I had to learn how to, first of all, understand what being a man of God is. I had to understand what it means to take responsibility. But not just that, because I've talked to young people and mm-hmm. asked young men, what does it mean to be a man? And there's many things that I could say, but one of the things that a true man thinks about, it's not just taking responsibility, that's a part of it, mm-hmm. but also what kind of legacy is he going to leave? A man,
amen.
A true man is not just thinking about today.
Right.
He's not just thinking about what he can get, but he's also thinking about what kind of legacy is he going to leave for his family or his children and his children's children. That's and right. so that's critical.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Legacy is everything.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm just realizing that now.
Yes.
But I knew that I had to continue to tread the corn. Mm-hmm. I knew I couldn't give up in my faith, because I don't want my children and grandchildren to give up. I want
yes.
them to be able to say, well, Grandma never gave up. She always called on God. That's all she ever talked to us
yes.
about, you know.
And yes.
I was with my oldest grandson not too long ago. We were talking. He said, Grandma, you going to preach to me again?
Amen.
Yeah, if I need you.
That's right.
You know, and that's just how I want them to remember
yes.
me.
Yes.
You know, that God's words was always in my mouth.
Yes.
You know, how many times have I been knocked down?
Yes.
I was a young mother at 16.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Unmarried.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I had to press my way.
Come on.
And it was like, no matter what obstacle came, my dad had instilled in me, no such word as can't.
Come on now.
You could not say that word in our house.
It's not allowed in mine either.
Try. You don't know what you can do. Try.
That's right.
You know, so I always pushed and tried and tried. And I always pushed my daughters.
Yes.
That. Mm-hmm. All of them have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter just
graduated Ohio
graduated
State.
Graduated Ohio State. You saw that.
I saw that. Yes. That's awesome. Hey,
hello,
we got a caller.
You're on the air? Hello?
Could you transfer me to Terry, please?
Oh. You'll have to call him back, and I won't answer, okay? All righty.
A little technical difficulty there.
That's okay. But yeah, you know, we mm-hmm. don't give up.
That's right.
You know, maybe, I do have three grandsons.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they both have struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it was the father thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, men can father children, but they can't father the children that they produce.
Yes.
You know, and I think they both fell in that line. So, which is discouraging to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But still, they have to push.
That's right.
They can't give up.
That's right.
You know, have to persevere. And like you said, these situations change.
So here's the thing. You know, you can't control what other people do.
No,
I can't control what my father did, you know, and the fact that I have a beating heart. And here's what's interesting. So I was speaking at a elementary school about mm-hmm. 2 months ago in Columbus. And they have a mentorship program for fourth and fifth grade young boys.
Okay.
And a majority of these young boys that are in the class, I think there was about 25 to 30 of them. Maybe it was about 40 of them. Let me take that back. Most of them don't have their fathers.
I believe it.
And 100% of them were black children. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them were from some foreign countries like Somalia and some other African countries. But we are all the teachers are already talking to them as, look, you're in fourth and fifth grade. And what's unfortunate is the fathers aren't there, but they're talking to these young people about you. If I enable you and kind of feed into woe is me, that's not going to help you make the necessary changes that you need to make.
No.
And fourth and fifth grade, Linda, and it's an epidemic. And so I went in there and the teacher was like, listen, we don't baby them. We're talking to them about principles, tools, trying to give them resources. We're talking to them about their decisions. And they can't make an excuse. You know, some of them have been adopted. Some of them are living in foster parents, you know, foster parents not right. understanding where their parents are. And these are very mature subjects
right.
for little kids to be thinking about. But if we're going to prepare them to get out of here and actually make a contribution, we have to believe when we have right. to say things and teach them things and train them in areas and give them tools that are going to help them make better choices.
Life is all about your choices.
That's right.
You know,
nothing
whether you're
going
to get up or lay down or whatever you're going to do.
That's
it's
right.
about what you choose to do.
That's right.
But I agree with that. And I know it has to start early.
Yes.
It has to start
early. The earlier, the better.
Because you can't wait until they get big as you and then try to tell them.
That's right.
You know, this is the way to go. You do
Correct.
It this way and that way. And I really feel for young men. My brother, my oldest brother, he's gone. And he can't say it was because he didn't have his father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had his father. Mm-hmm. We all lived in the same household, mm-hmm. our mother and father there. But it was just something about he couldn't get his mind wrapped around life.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people out there who can't get their minds wrapped around life
mm-hmm.
and what life consists of.
Yes.
But like we said earlier, it consists of many things.
Mm-hmm.
Failures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number one, like you said, this is all about your book.
Yes.
Just quit.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have failures. You're going to fall. You're going to fall down. You're going to mm-hmm. bruise your knee, break your neck, maybe.
And you have to learn the art of the bounce back.
Right. Yeah, get up.
You got to get up.
And try it again.
And like Les Brown says, if you can get up, if you can look up, then he says something like, you got to get back up. But if you fall down, which a lot of people do,
right.
these are the setbacks in life.
Right.
You have to learn the art of the bounce back.
Yes, you do. And you have to be convinced, I will not give up.
Yes, that's it.
You got to be determined.
That's it.
The devil's not going to defeat me.
That's right. That's right. And your perseverance, I've heard one of my business coaches say this, our perseverance. Wait, I want to make sure I'm saying it right. I'll paraphrase. Your perseverance, your consistent perseverance, will wear out any resistance. So if you continue, if you are consistent with your perseverance, it's going to wear out the resistance.
Yes, it will. Yes, and wear out the devil.
Yes.
It will wear him out.
That's right.
You know, because he's the one telling all the lies.
All the lies. That's
you're not
right.
going to make it. You're not going to be nothing.
You're
you
a
know?
Failure. You're going to be just
People
like this.
People going to walk all over you.
Correct.
And, no. The devil is a liar.
That's right.
You know, and those are words that you have to speak.
Correct.
Out loud.
That's right.
Put him in his place.
Yes.
You know, and then maybe you can go on.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bible says, he left for a season, even after he tempted Christ.
Yes.
He said, get thee behind, Satan, mm-hmm. for it is written.
Yes.
Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that
yes.
proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
That's where you fight.
That's right.
You got to get those things in you so they'll come out of
That's
you.
That's right. And so to your point,
mm-hmm.
when I was telling you I was meditating on the fear,
right.
I was not reading and having a consistent time
right.
where I was meditating and speaking God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when I have a situation, because I've been putting the word in me, I've been putting words of faith in me, I've been putting good stuff in me.
Right.
Now what's happening is it's coming out of me.
Out.
So that's whatever right. you put in that heart, in that mind,
that's, right.
that's what's going to come out.
It's
bottom line.
That's right.
And whatever. And remember, I was going to church.
Oh, I know you were.
I was going to church, but I wasn't continuing to meditate. And the other thing, too, is nobody could have prepared me for the pressure that I was facing when I started the business. I thought because I had vision, I thought because I was involved in some good things,
mm-hmm.
you know, that things were just going to work out.
Right.
And, you know, there were times when I'd ask a question, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to
wow.
me? And then I started focusing, you know, and it's like, well, I heard Les Brown say, well, why not you? Why not happen? You know,
right. Who are you? Right?
Yeah. And So what I believe is that mess is now being turned into a message, and we get a chance to help a lot of people. So anyway.
Yes, that's great. I was watching a movie on Christian channels, and it was called Homeless the Holidays.
Okay.
And it was about this top executive who was really up there making all this money, had this big, beautiful home for him, his wife, and his two kids, and he just had all this money, the external, throwing it around and stuff like that. And one of his coworkers was jealous of him and set him up.
Wow.
And one of the managers asked him to take a fall for the company, and they'd call him later when everything cleared.
Mm-hmm.
They never called him.
Wow.
And he was sitting around just waiting on them to call him. And in the meantime, the bills are coming. And
his wife
is saying, what are you going to do about this? You got a plan? You got a plan? You got a plan? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do about this? She kept saying, what's your plan? What's your plan? Because in other words, that's how they got started.
Yes.
With his
plan. With his plan.
Working together. So he they're going to call. They're going to call.
Never called.
Even got put out of that big, beautiful home.
Oh, yeah. I can identify with that one.
At the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That movie's called Homeless.
Yeah.
Okay.
Homeless.
Okay.
You know, the car went, you know, every little thing went a little bit at a time.
That's
you
right.
Know, the electric was off. They was in the candlelight.
Been
you
there.
Know, burning wood in the fireplace. Uh-huh. But that's reality
that
for
is,
some people.
Yeah, yeah.
And who can say it's not going to happen to me one day?
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Yeah.
What tomorrow holds, only who holds tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, but I taped that show so I can watch it again.
Yeah, I might have to check that out. That sounds like a good movie.
It is. They have good movies on there on the Christian channels.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, they do. Yep, some good stuff. But thank you, H. Giver. Believe it or not, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for all those who listen and people who watched on Facebook. I appreciate it, y'all. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. And have a safe trip home.
I will. I definitely will. And you too.
Will do.
Can I do a plug?
Yes.
Real quick, if you're interested in learning more about how you can get a copy of this book, this book helps me to go into schools and speak to young people. Just go over to uncoveryouruncommon.com. I'm also a speaker and motivational coach and confidence coach. So you can learn more about me over at uncoveryouruncommon.com. That's it.
You finished?
Oh, yeah. I could have shared my phone number, but they can see that on the website.
Okay. Check out the website. Get all the information so you can get a copy of his book and maybe set up some engagements so he can come and speak to young people or older people.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, as I say, we're wrapping up the show. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People today. And again, I say thank you to H. Good for coming and sharing this day with me. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
How much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
They made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad, and so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
To the star of Soap and Benson, Robert Guillaume,
when you first got that pilot script and you looked at Benson, now he was a housekeeper, but mm-hmm. who was he to you?
Well, he was my grandmother, for one thing. My grandmother had worked in white people's houses, and she had always seemed disrespectful. She would come in and she would do the laundry. And after she had put the laundry and arranged it the way she wanted, the woman who owned the house and for whom she worked would come along and rearrange things. And my grandmother would stand to the side while she, with a drink in her hand, did as much as she could to undo what my grandmother did. My grandmother didn't get angry at her. She just abided her. And just we would stand there and watch the woman do what she wanted to with the laundry. And when she finished, my grandmother would say, "Are you through now?"